Let's read these verses from Exodus 12. Actually, how about if I read them and you listen? The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts, and you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." I am fascinated by tornadoes. I like to watch TV specials that follow storm chasers. For me, that's really cool. I detested the movie Twister because it depicts the main characters able to weather an F5 tornado going right over them because they're tied with a belt to a little gas pipe. I am very glad that so many cell phones are equipped with video cameras now, because almost every tornado that is ever reported on the news now, they have video of it because somebody was there to take some pictures. The reason I'm fascinated with tornadoes is because I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And if you don't know where Tulsa, Oklahoma is, one way you can find it is you can go to a map that plots the frequency of tornadoes, and right under the darkest spot, that's where Tulsa is. Tornado Alley. Growing up, tornado warnings and stuff, that's just like baseball games and cookouts during the summer. That's just part of life. A summer after my junior year in high school, three tornadoes went through South Tulsa, the part of the city we lived in. Three tornadoes simultaneously, 2 miles apart. On the ground for about 2 miles, and they went back up into the clouds and then came back down again. Our house was directly in the path of one of those. But we were one of those houses where it went back up into the clouds and then came back down again. Now, as all this was going on, we knew there was a tornado warning. We were warned well in advance. And so I did what I had been trained to do in hundreds of disaster drills in elementary school. I went into a central hall, and I got down on my knees and put my head between my knees and clasped my hands behind my neck, because that's how you prepare. It was rather convenient that I was kneeling because I was also praying that God would spare my young life. So, you know where my parents were? They were in the living room of our house, standing in front of an 8-foot plate glass window, watching the tornado swirl overhead. I was screaming at them. They paid no attention to me. I think that's the closest I ever have been or ever will be to what the Jews experienced in the Passover. The danger, though, that was swirling over their heads was not a tornado. It was the angel of death who was coming through. They did not take cover in a hall. They took cover in a house that had blood on the doorposts and the lintel or the door jamb. We have all probably cowered under our covers at one time or another. For whatever reason, to hide from the thunder and lightning of a thunderstorm, or to hide because that monster that was in our dreams seems like it's real, or because of the scratching on the window of our bedroom, or because we're afraid of our parents or whatever. And we've hoped that hiding underneath those covers would protect us from what we feared. Stakes were much higher on the night of that first Passover. Pharaoh had tortured God's people as his slaves for centuries. And now God had come and the answer to the cry of his people and had sent Moses to demand of Pharaoh that he let his people go and worship him in the desert. And Pharaoh refused. And so God ravaged his country with plagues. 9 plagues to this point, each one humiliating one by one, one of the gods that Egypt worshipped. The first Passover night was Judgment Day on the Egyptians. God had warned them that their firstborn would die. And in fact, the same was true for the Jews unless they were under the cover of the Passover lamb's blood. Unless they believed God's word and believed the way of salvation that he offered. Judgment Day for us is coming when we die. It's appointed unto man once to die, the author of Hebrews says, and after that, the judgment. Judgment is coming. What will cover us? What will spare us from judgment? The Passover points us to that and points us to the Lord's Supper as well. First of all, God's people are saved by a sacrifice. Look at verses 3 and 4. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. The lamb was a substitute. Take a lamb for a household. The lamb was going to die instead of the people who took cover in the house that was covered by that lamb's blood. They were to make sure that there was enough lamb that everyone in that house could eat from it to remind them that they were participating in the substitution, in the offering that this lamb was making, giving up his life for them. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. It was a sacrifice. It was a substitute. It also had to be a perfect sacrifice, one without blemish. They were not allowed to go out of the flock and choose the one lamb that they would have gotten rid of anyway and sacrifice it. It had to be the best of the best, the cream of the crop, without any fault or blemish. And then they had to make sure that from the 10th day when they chose it to the 14th day when they sacrificed it, for those 4 days, they had to watch it carefully to make sure it didn't go from blemished to unblemished, so that it would be disqualified as their substitute. I can imagine in those 4 days of watching that cute, little, fluffy, perfect, adorable lamb, that there was probably more than one Jewish child who got attached to it and pled for its life. And so it was driven home again. This is a perfect lamb, but it's being sacrificed for you. It is dying for you. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, that is, on the sides, and the lintel of the house, that is, on the top, in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, again reminding them that this was their lamb, with unleavened bread, and I can skip this point because John has already explained it, but it's the idea of you're giving up sin. You're repenting. You're turning away from sin so that you can follow God, so that you can be under His covering. You're repenting and believing in the sacrifice saving you from your sin. It's the gospel. And you're to eat it, it says, with bitter herbs. Bitter herbs that for years to come would remind these people that were participating in the Passover that this had been a bitter, painful time of slavery from which they had been freed. Just as we need to remember the bitterness of slavery to sin from which Christ has freed us. And then verse 11 even tells them exactly how to eat it. It doesn't say with your lips closed. Notice that. I'm sure they did anyway. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. So you can eat your meals fast. It is the Lord's Passover. Why were they to eat it like this? They were to eat it ready to go. Ready to leave. Ready to follow God. Ready to go out on His mission to His place, because they had been rescued. Verse 13 says, the blood shall be a sign for you. It says, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. As they came into that house, they came into the protection, the covering of that lamb. And what did that blood remind them of? It reminded them that there was a perfect sacrifice dying as a substitute in their place by which they would be saved. Friends, Jesus is our substitute. He died the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. He was perfect. The author of the Hebrews says He was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. And His blood covers us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The judgment we deserve for our sin is eternal death. Someone had to pay the penalty that we owed, or we would have to pay it ourselves. And so Jesus, the infinitely perfect, infinitely valuable Son of God, endured God's wrath on the cross for us, so that when we believe God's word and put ourselves under the cover of that perfect Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, we can be covered and God's judgment will pass over us. We are saved by a sacrifice. Second, God's people live in solidarity with one another. God's people were saved as a community. They all chose a lamb on the 10th day. They all sacrificed it at twilight on the 14th day. They all cooked it the same way. They all ate the same things with it. They all ate it ready to go as God's people. They ate it with unleavened bread because they all wanted to give up sin and follow God. They ate it with bitter herbs because they'd all been saved out of slavery and were now being freed from it. They ate it in haste because they were God's people going to God's place on God's mission. Brothers and sisters, we're called to do the same. As the people of God, to reject sin, to turn and to follow God as His people, ready to go with the gospel in word and living out the gospel in our community. That's our mission as we head to a place which is not just a promised land here on earth. It's heaven itself. And when we get there, we won't just be eating in the spiritual presence of Jesus as we do this meal. We'll be eating in His physical presence. He said we will eat and drink with Him in the kingdom of God. That's our hope. God's people live as a community of saved people in solidarity with one another. And God's people are spared because of His love. Look at verse 12. He says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments." God is proclaiming that there is no other God other than Him. You cannot be saved by worshiping any other God other than the one living and true God and believing His word and following the way of salvation that He has given you. There is no other way. It must be through a substitute of a sacrifice of a perfect lamb whose blood bears God's judgment instead of you. And then He says, "I am the Lord." The name by which He would soon introduce Himself to the people of God, by which He had already introduced Himself to Moses, that says, "I am an everlasting God. I am a self-existent God. I don't exist because you made me up like an idol. I have always existed. But I am a covenant God to you. I am committing to be your God. And you will be my people. And I will not lose you." That's what Paul's talking about when he says, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He is committed to us because He has set His affection on us. And He has demonstrated that by giving His one and only Son whom He loved, His perfect Son, sacrificed so His blood can cover us, so His judgment can pass over us. And He says in verse 13, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you." When I see you in Jesus, there will be no judgment day other than to declare, "Well done, enter my kingdom." God will see Jesus, and He will pass over judgment and welcome us into His heavenly home. Because of the Lord's great love, Jeremiah later said, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. It is because of God's never failing compassion that a sacrifice has been provided for us. It is because of God's never-failing compassion that He saves us as a community of God's people to go on His mission to His place together, encouraging one another with the same salvation that we have all experienced. It is because of God's never-failing compassion that His steadfast love will last forever. He will never leave us or forsake us. And all this is pictured for us to remind us that Jesus came to fulfill that as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, whose blood was shed, whose body was broken, that He might be that perfect sacrifice substituted for us that declares to us that God loves us and will never lose us and will one day sit down together as the people of God to worship the Lamb, and to eat with Him present there with us. So Paul says, "Therefore, since Christ our Passover Lamb has been sacrificed, let us celebrate the festival."